One of the things we've been doing today is trying to compile a partial glossary of financial services terms. And Brian Condon, who's our resident genius, is going to give us attempt to give us a description of clearing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, clearing. Imagine two people trading. I'm trading with Steve, and I do 12 quids worth of business with him, and he does 10 quids worth of business with me. Well, there's no point as handing 12 quid and 10 quid around, because the difference is 2 quid. So if we had somebody in the middle who was looking after the money, the only money that would pass between us is 2 quid.
And that's clearing.
And that's clearing.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Do you want any more?
Yeah. What are the implications of it?
Okay, well, I've just been to a session which was about understanding your position in a world which is much more volatile. And what traders have to understand their position. They have to know where they are with all the products that they're trading. Otherwise, the whole thing gets out of control. Funny it did that, didn't it, really? Now, what we've just been hearing about is two kinds of markets. Exchanges, like the stock exchange. In this case, we were talking about the NYSE Life Exchange, which is the derivatives and futures market.
Okay.
That's a central exchange where the products are largely well-defined and the clearing is a very well-understood process. And that's an exchange. And the exchange is regulated and can be managed and all those kinds of things.
And with futures, it's all fixed contract terms as well, isn't it?
Let's not get into that detail, but okay. It can be like that. What we've just been hearing about is these things called OTC, over-the-counter markets. Now, over-the-counter markets don't have the same degree of centralized trading or standardization of products. And how you settle a trade, in other words, how you work it all out, who owes who what, is through this thing called bilateral collateralization. That means you do it, you know, in the example I gave earlier about the exchange, we cleared through a nice big friendly person. Okay, if we were just trading with one another and we had bilateral arrangements, we'd just settle.
Yeah.
Now, the risk attached to those two things is different.
Yeah.
Because in an exchange, you're effectively pooling your risk with lots of other people. But in bilateral markets, you know, if you're a bit dodgy and you're my counterparty and something goes wrong, I look around and I've got no support structure.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to help me out. And what happens then is pricing becomes really difficult because people start to kind of price on risk. And in a way, that's kind of what we've been talking about today and what Leonard Matz was talking about earlier. This thing about how do you understand where you are so that you know what you can trade and what you can't trade.
And calculate the value of the risk.
Yes.
But I guess that's easier.
But
in an exchange, you can kind of standardize it across that there is a general concept of risk.
There is some definition that you can apply to it, and there are a certain set of standards. And the other thing is it makes it easier for regulators to understand what's going on,
whereas,
to manage the market so that things don't get out of control.
Whereas in a bilateral agreement, you've got trust comes into it in a much less metrically measurable way.
Yeah, in a bilateral arrangement, we could go into a corner and do a bit of trading. And if we're not reporting it accurately to anybody, then all sorts of things could be happening. Now, there's one final thing I wanted to talk about. What was that? This tweet I put out. What did I say? Something about...
It's centralized.
Yeah, if you... And I've just had a conversation with one of the delegates. Imagine you centralize everything and clear it. And you start merging the exchange-traded markets and these OTC markets where there's much more bilateral action going on. Does that actually reduce the risk? All you're doing is putting the risk into a bigger bucket. If you don't actually understand the overall risk, the systemic risk, which is what people have been talking about today, and systemic risk is another thing you should define, I suppose, in your glossary. If you don't understand the overall systemic risk, then how does putting it all into a bigger bucket really help? And that's the discussion that I've just had with one of the delegates, which was we kind of tried to work out, well, you know, does that work? Does it work like that?
Fantastic. Thanks, Brian.
What was that?